Go ahead.
There we
Sorry
go.
about that.
No, not a problem. You know, Brian, I think the way to think about it is we talk about the integrated model. And for those of the NCs that were on the training session we had, Steve Muscato talked a lot about this. But where we see driving shareholder value is by matching the generation that we have, all of the assets that we've got across the country, from our coal fleet to our nuclear fleet to our combustion turbines to our solar fleet and now our new battery fleet. We're looking to match those with customer load because there's tremendous value in being able to manage the volatility of the wholesale power markets through a customer relationship. So it's very much a customer-driven business with a tremendous amount of resources and assets behind them from generation. So when you hear Curt Morgan and Jim Burke talk about the integrated model, that's why retail and Ambit is so important to that model, and that's why we did the acquisition. It was really important to our strategy to try and drive a generation load match, as we call it. So critical, important part of our future.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I think a lot of times because, you know, from an Ambit Energy consultant perspective, you know, we're not into the strategy of, you know, how it all works. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, talking about a watch. We don't get into how the watch is built, but we're able to tell time and see whether it's moving around and that sort of thing. So, you know, I think it's really important that, you know, for consultants that are on this call to understand that, you know, how important, and you mentioned, you know, you take your legacy brand of TXU that's been around since the creation of time, and, you know, that was just part of the new company as you pulled that into the new company kind of as the foundation on the retail side, and look at Ambit as number two, and then understand from a strategic perspective how important that overlay of a customer inside of a generation area is for the company. You know, strategically, there's no more important brand and growth area in Vistra than Ambit Energy. So I think that's really really important for everybody on this call to understand that you know, with that being the case, and with the primary, you know, in any publicly traded company, for those of you that may not be familiar with it, all the board of directors, the officers, everybody that is in the head of the company and is moving the company forward, is their number one job is to draw shareholder value, and they do that by overlapping retail on top of generation, and you know, I think that's a very, very exciting strategic place for Ambit Energy to be. You know, it just gets me excited every time I think about it. Let me ask you something else, Scott. On the, you know, 2020 has been a different year. You know, we mm-hmm. the acquisition and that's an understatement, isn't it? Oh man! But you know, the acquisition of Ambit and Ambit becoming part of the Vistra family, as we know, happened November 1st of last year. And of course, with any merger like that, you've got, you know, sort out all the personnel and get all the people HR done. You've got two computer programs that, you know, got to start talking to each other kind of day one. And, you know, we moved into simulcast, and we're no sooner out of simulcast than the COVID thing hit us in early March. And, you know, so there's just been a lot of challenges, a lot of changes, a lot of things that have happened because of this being so different. But share and give us some insight on, you know, how the COVID thing and how those challenges and changes that have occurred in 2020, you know, have impacted, you know, what's happened with Ambit and its assimilation into Vistra.
Yeah, no, Brian, you hit the nail on the head. You know, we started off running fast. You know, we closed on the transaction we had you in. You know, we talked about sort of how we wanted to work with you to sort of build the network. Then we had some of your leaders in to do some focus groups and get some surveys under our belt. So we were off and running, and integration was, you know, under full swing. And man, bam, then COVID hit, you know. And The way we thought about it is, like a lot of folks, is, come about March 15th, we said, okay, we're going to take care of two things. One, we're going to take care of our employees and our people. And within 3 days, we had sent the entire building home. We're located in Irving, Texas, have about 1,200 people in that one facility. And we had to get people home because we wanted them to be safe and with their families. So we transitioned to a work from home environment, fairly quickly. And that was everybody down at the Landmark building, from Ambit to everyone in all of our regional offices across the country, and then our headquarters. So once we got that under our belts, we quickly turned, our thoughts to our customers. As I said, we're a customer-centric business. How do we think about the pandemic and that how it impacted customers? And for Ambit and our residential, brands, it really was a matter of two things were happening. We saw a lot of our customers become unemployed very quickly, particularly in the travel and leisure industry and other discretionary services, so folks that are in retail. And we had to start thinking about how do we help those people get through a rough spot. And we knew we were coming into the summer, right? And in Texas, it gets hot in the summer, the bills go up. So we started thinking very tactically about how do we help our customers through different types of installment plans, different types of deferred payment plans, put down a little bit now, and we can help you through this tough time. So that was the first category of residential customers. The second category was everybody's working from home, right? So the usage patterns changed overnight in that we saw a big spike in residential usage, and we had a number of folks on plans where that usage didn't match the product that they were on. So we again tried to go above and beyond to try and match the particular product set with their usage patterns to make sure that they wouldn't be adversely affected by a change that was outside of their control. But really, that's kind of how Vistra approaches things. We think about our employees, and we think about our consultants the same way, part of the family at Vistra. And then we try and think about, how we can, work with them to get through a tough time. Kurt Morgan, said this more than once in his comments for those folks that got to hear it at Ambition. And thank you for everybody that could attend our first virtual Ambition. I do think it was really just a special event, a lot of good content, but Kurt Morgan, our CEO, said, if you take care of your customers in tough times, they're going to be a customer for life. And I don't think anything brought that out more clearly than this COVID pandemic.
Yeah, it's really interesting, too. One of the things is, I came in and, had some face-to-face meetings until COVID hit, and then we did some Zoom meetings and everything. One of the things that I didn't understand as a consultant, because again, it's just not in our bailiwick, if you will. It's just something we don't think about. But, when you start thinking about, essential, we've all heard about essential and non-essential. Well, of course, electricity is essential. But you start to think about the fact that, we've got nuclear assets. And so, what happens if the COVID thing hits the workforce in a nuclear plant and that electricity comes off the grid? What happens if that happens in a coal plant or a natural gas plant or happens across the enterprise or something? And so, to the degree that there's homeland security issues that Vistra corporately has to get involved with to make sure that we're, as an essential business, are taking care of business. So, as a consultant, it's easy for us to sit back and say, well, how come they're not doing this on the radar? How come they're not doing this or doing that? Well, when you're making sure that Homeland Security and the national security of the United States of America is being taken care of, there are a couple of priorities that in a time of crisis like COVID presented and still presents to a certain degree that just take priority. And so I think it's important for people to understand that, sometimes we can look at it through our myopic, narrow lenses and kind of see what's important to us, and wonder why it's taking a little bit longer. But, COVID just kind of knock the feet from underneath us in that, one, you got to get the employees safe. Secondly, you got to take care of the existing customer base, as you just outlined. And then you've got all these other underlying issues that are just, critical that just have to take precedence. So I look at it with a little bit more insight, but not complete understanding of it. And, just say, okay, I get it, and then I look at that splash against what I just saw happen at Ambition. And I just shake my head in amazement and hats off to you. I mean, the text that I've gotten and, the feedback that I've gotten has just been overwhelmingly positive, not only in how Kristen and her group put together Ambition, and it just, it wasn't an exaggerated Zoom meeting. It was a professionally produced, well done, all the contest, all the excitement, but it was different. And my hat's off to you and the entire team for that. Let me ask you kind of a fun question. What's the biggest thing that has surprised you since, getting introduced to Ambit Energy, and all of a sudden it shows up one day and, hey, this is a new channel and new brand I've got to learn about? And what's the number one thing that just kind of jumped out at you that kind of surprised you?
Well, Jim and I, you asked the same question of Jim. And when I refer to Jim, for folks that don't know, Jim Burke, he's our chief operating officer. I report into Jim, and Jim and I were talking about, what is it, that sort of makes the Ambit network so special now that we're about 9-10 months into this. And I loved his answer. His answer for everyone who wasn't, able to hear him was work ethic. Absolutely, how hard the consultants, work day in and day out. It's a 24/7 job. We're here Sunday night at 9 o'clock talking about how we're going to get the week off to a start, how we're going to take advantage of all the announcements and Ambition. And I think we appreciated that, during the due diligence and the acquisition, but you really can't, get your arms around it until you see it in action, Brian. And we have absolutely, seen that. To me, the answer I give is really driven from the COVID is I was just so amazed by the adaptability of the network, really at all levels. When the COVID hit on March the 15th, we were full speed ahead, as I said, and we were going to go, man, we cannot let this thing, slow down. How do we keep the pace going? How do we keep the momentum going? And it was through seeing the network adapt. People started shifting to back-to-back Zoom meetings, started shifting from face-to-face selling to a lot of emails and texts. And, there's one thing that I heard over and over again in all the testimonials and the stories this past year was, I got on the phone. And, just amazing adaptability. And it reminds me of that old John Maxwell quote, which is, hey, change is going to happen, but you can either go through it or you can grow through it. And I saw a tremendous amount of growth. And I think that's another theme that we heard a lot about at Ambition, Brian, is this growth. We're a growth company. We're in a growth, mode, and was really encouraged. So I guess it was surprise, but I think I'd also use the adjective. I was just amazed by how well, folks did through this. And I think that's on both sides. I'm so proud of the team. I appreciate you sort of recognizing the team and what we did at Virtual Ambition. But when I look back at the announcements of, Formula One to Power Perks to a new customer verification system to, the prepaid MasterCard to AC and heater tune-ups to the Ambassadors Club to new MC tools, so much good content and tools are now out there that we can both work with to continue to adapt and to change and to grow.
And another thing that was huge to me, and of course, outside of uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis, counting to 10 in Spanish, I don't speak Spanish, but one of the things I've really noticed is that Ambit has recognized what a powerful force our Spanish speaking organizations are within Ambit, Cesar and the guys up in the East Coast and David Nunez and so many others in Texas and all over Texas. I mean, too many to to mention, but to see resources pumped into that demographic, and for the first time ever to have a dedicated part of Ambit for our Spanish speaking consultants, I think that alone should show, even for people like myself who don't speak Spanish, you know, the intuitiveness and the understanding that Sidney Seeger and as a chief marketing officer and, you know, has come in and put focus in on the, and on the business and the areas that needed focus. And that was an area that needed huge focus. And, you know, the exciting part about it is it's only just begun, you know, and that's
right.
That to
just
me was, yeah. Yeah. And I just, you know, I look at those small things happened to, you know, be one of the live participants. One of Chris Atkinson and I were the only two people in the field that were live on Saturday. So when it was all over, you know, Jim made some comments, you made some comments, Sidney made some comments, and Daryl and Eric made some comments. And, you know, and being a field person, of course, they were all great comments. But one of the things that Daryl said that really struck me was that he felt like in just a short number of months, 8-9 months since Vistra had merged with Ambit, and the leadership of Vistra was leading Ambit, that they got more in those number of months than they had, and I believe he said in the previous 3 or 4 years combined. And he spoke to focus, he spoke to leadership, he spoke to a lot of different things, and that to me was a testament that says, you know, hey, we're on the right track. COVID, you know, made us, you know, sit on the side of the track for a while, but, you know, we're back on the track, we're moving forward. COVID is not behind us, but it certainly is in a situation where we're not as concerned about it. We got it under control, and just exciting times. But yeah, you know, I think we'd really be remiss not to mention the focus on the Spanish speaking market and how important that market is to us and how important those consultants are to us.
Absolutely.
Hey, Kurt Morgan, our CEO of Vistra, mentioned that there were four principles that were the drivers of Vistra, and you know, more than just vision statements or goals or whatever. And I thought that maybe you could elaborate on those as an employee and somebody that's participated in those principles, so that they could, you know, I think they fit right into Ambit, and of course they existed before Ambit came along, but I think they're important for consultants to understand and focus in on those principles and take those principles and use them in our Ambit business as well.
Yeah, Brian, I'd love to. And you know, I think I'd just start out by saying there is a tremendous amount of overlap between the core values that Ambit has, and that, you know, Jerry Thompson sort of drove through that business as the founder with you at the very beginning. So these are they should be very familiar and common to folks. But I do think it is important to, you know, to think about them and to write them down. And you have to live them every day. I mean, principles are not just something that you put on the wall or on a banner. You have to think about, how do you live these, and are you living up to them? I think about our principles as a bit of a North Star, meaning that if I get off kilter, or I don't think I'm approaching the business the right way, or I'm having a tough day or a conflict, I think about these principles as my North Star, because they get me back on track. They put me back on the right path. So as I go through those, that's how I personally, you know, think about them. But the first is, you know, we do business the right way. It sounds very simple, but very similar to never sacrifice integrity, you know, for growth. Doing business the right way is about integrity. And to me, that means you just don't take shortcuts. You know, you're going to work something, you're going to work it hard, you're going to work it the right way. You're not going to take, you know, shortcuts. You're not going to you know, do something that you're not going to be, you know, proud of. So integrity is really important. The second principle is we work as a team. And I think this is one you really see Kurt, you know, do well, because, you know, teamwork, it's really about having a common purpose. So when I think about retail, I think about our purpose as putting the customer at the heart, you know, everything we do. How do we think about the experience from a customer mindset? Because that drives, you know, loyalty. And, you know, amongst your team members, and I see this, you know, within the consultancy, you guys have been working together for years, over 10 years. It comes down to trust. I think it really comes down to, do you trust the people you work with? And then that'll drive, you know, teamwork. I trust Jim Burke inherently. I trust, you know, Sydney, and I think we have that belief in one another. So I think that's really important. The third is we compete to win. I don't think you're going to find a more competitive group of folks. And I know this is true at Ambit and with the consultants as well as at, you know, Vistra. You know, reminds me of what Walter Bond said in his comments, you know, never stop swimming. You know, that sharks never stop swimming. If you're going to be a shark, you're going to be out there, you know, competing to win. We love to win. We love it that Ambit is the largest direct selling energy company in the world, and we want to help you all get bigger, and we're going to do that by beating out our competition, respecting our competition, but by bringing more differentiated products and services and better experiences to market. So that's what retail compete to win means. And then last, it's you know, taking care of your stakeholders. And we chose that because in today's world, you know, it is not just enough for a corporation to meet the needs of their shareholders. Those are the days of like the 80s and the, you know, the greed is good kind of mindset. Today, the way that I think top corporations think about, you know, meeting the needs of their stakeholders is you have your employees, you've got your customers, you have your regulators, you have your legislative teams, you have the communities where your employees live. They're all important to meet the needs of all of those. So we were very deliberate to say stakeholders, which goes beyond just shareholder value. The core piece of this principle is if you take care of your employees, your people, you take care of the, you know, our consultants that we work with at Ambit, they're going to take care of the customers. And if you have customers, then the shareholders, that'll just take care of itself. And you have to put it in that order, where it used to be shareholder first. Now it's employees, consultants, customers first, and then the math, the returns, the growth, that'll come naturally.
Yeah, it's, you know, they're so congruent. You know, it's just, you know, when Kirk was laying those out, I go, okay, check,
yep.
You know,
yep.
I mean, it's
very similar. Yeah, absolutely, Brian. Yep. They should
It was great. Well, we're getting close on time. We got another 10, 15 minutes, but, you know, I wanted to talk about, you know, one of my big takeaways is Sydney Seeger, our chief marketing officer, who Daryl and Eric report to, and of course Sydney reports to you, but you know, she talked about a value proposition when it comes to our product set versus a price sensitive proposition, and this is a big topic for Ambit consultants, because I think a lot of times, you know, for the most part, you're going to hear Ambit consultants say, well, we don't have to be the cheapest, but, you know, and I'm a, you know, maybe I have a little bit more insight because of me working with you guys a little bit and coming up with the, you know, probably the first product that we came up with that was a value driven product was, you know, summer savings here in Texas. Mm-hmm. And for those in the, you know, people in the Northeast might not be as familiar with it because they're not marketing that product, but at a high level for you guys that are outside of the Texas market, not familiar with this product, basically what Vistra did is they came up with a product that said, okay, during the peak months, the summer months, you're going to pay 50% of the bill. You know, so if you had a $400 electric bill, your electric bill is going to be $200, you know, just at a high level. And then basically what it did was it leveled the bill out, so they didn't have these huge spikes in the summer. And a lot of people, you know, heard the testimonies at Ambition of the customer set that were just thrilled with it. And then, you know, the rates, you know, slightly higher during the winter months, but it just, you know, it's a way to dollar cost average, if you will, the billing. And the success of that, it's a nice high margin product for the company, but the success and the reviews from the customers were just off the chart. So can you talk a little bit the value versus the price thing and you know how you analyze it in the marketplace, kind of how you come up with it and what the future might hold with some of that sort of value versus price thinking with Vistra?
Well, you know, I certainly can, Brian. I certainly am not going to do as good of a job as Sydney Seeger does. I mean, I thought she did a great job of explaining, you know, some very there are sort of complex methodologies that we use in consumer insights and analytics in order to come up with these products, understand, you know, what customers want and when they want them. And by the way, she has a PhD and I don't. So, you know, she's supposed to be better at this than I am. But, you know, what I would say simply to folks is, you know, in the marketplace, and I've worked with hundreds of brands in my, you know, career, they really fall in two general categories. You either have a price-driven, you know, brand, or you have what we call a value brand. What defines a value brand is what customers are willing to pay a little bit more for. And if you can become a value brand and have value products and services, you know, under them, that drives loyalty. And loyalty, you know, drives, you know, a continued margin from that customer base and then residual income to the consultant. So this is very, very important to understand that a value brand and valued products drive loyalty, where a price-driven brand, which is just competing on, can you get me the lowest price? Can you get me the lowest price? That customer will always choose the next lower price. It's that simple. I mean, and that's why you spend so much time and effort trying to drive to becoming a value brand. And you see this across all types of categories, insurance categories, you know, retail categories more generally, financial services categories. It's this, you're trying to drive to, you know, the value brand. So, and we do think Ambit is a value brand. It is a value brand. It's a value brand because of the relationship that consultants have with the customers, but that's where our job comes in. We need to provide you something that is differentiated. It's different enough for you to say, listen, this is a great product. It's a differentiated product, but it's at a fair price. It's not the lowest price. It's not intended to be the lowest price because it's differentiated and it can drive more value. It has to be a fair price. So that's how we think about summer savings. I mean, it's a great product that is met the needs of a particular Texas consumer because bills are higher during the summers, and then providing them a discount on their summer usage really played well. One of the most successful product launches that Ambit has had, and we're just getting started. You know, that's what we do. You know, we talk about teamwork. We're the members of the team that have the expertise and the bandwidth and the wherewithal and the PhDs to go, listen, we think this is gonna play in this marketplace. But then it's up for us to work with you, Brian, as we said. I think we did a great job working together to go, how do we position it? How do we provide education materials, training materials to the consultants to help them be able to simply explain what the product is? That's the formula for success. We're going to see lots more of it, lots more of it.
You know, it was really great because for the first time in Ambit's history, and I've been in with Ambit, you know, Frank Schmalling, who won the leadership award this year, was the first consultant and probably on board a month or so before I was, but I, you know, kind of been with Ambit since the very beginning, and never have we released a product where then we had a product training, you know, and when we released the new product in Texas, we had a product training, and then we came behind it with summer savings, and Eric Johnstone and the team did a great job. I was, you know, thrilled to be able to participate in it where, you know, we did a product training for the consultants in Texas. Mm-hmm. So they're, you know, before we actually released the product, everybody kind of understood what the product was, you know, and, you know, kind of look back and, it, you know, some of this just, you know, that's just common sense, right? I mean, before you give your you know, any product to any sort of sales force or distribution force that, you know, you educate them properly on the product. And as silly as it may sound, that just never was done at Ambit Energy when Jerry and Chris, and it's not faulting the old Ambit Energy, but it's insight as to, you know, the I don't want to call it complexity because that could be interpreted the wrong way, but the complexity of thought is probably the way to put it of how a product is developed is totally different. You know, I mean, consumers are actually, you know, considered and focus groups are done and, you know, and you come up with a product so that the probability that product is going to be embraced by the consumer is so much greater than any product that Ambit's ever released before. That whole process takes time. That's not, you know, it's not a, hey, this is a good product, let's throw it out there and then find out it didn't work because of this, that, or the other thing. You know, so I've been really impressed with the processes that are involved in, you know, under your leadership and it's happening in retail, that there's processes involved and the products that are being developed, you know, particularly to date in Texas. Now we're moving on outside of Texas. And again, COVID, you know, delayed it, or we'd already have some of these products outside of Texas. But, you know, it's not just a knee jerk, throw it out there, see what sticks up against the wall sort of thing. You know, it's well thought out. And so the probability of us as Ambit consultants having success with that new product is, you know, infinitely greater than the kind of the way we did business in the past. So my hat's off to you and your team. And you mentioned Sydney being a PhD. It's like I was almost intimidated to talk to her because she's just like so uber smart about her data analytics and everything. I'm saying, boy, she starts talking about that, I'm going to just have to crawl underneath this chair right here because I don't know what the hell she's talking about, but she sure does, which is a good thing, you know?
That is the truth. So should I make a plug for Power Perks? Because I think we got a training coming up tomorrow. Isn't that right? I think.
Yeah.
Tomorrow on Monday. I think we do. I think maybe for those that are on the call from the Midwest, Northeast, we're launching our Power Perks product, and I think that training will be really helpful, you know, Brian, again, to sort of walk through why we think it's going to make a difference in those particular, you know, markets, different than a product that we've sold, you know, up there in the past, but, you know, a product where someone gets, you know, rewards just for being your electricity customer. So a real nice value play there, another great example of a value product as opposed to just a price-based product like a guaranteed savings product, which just drives to price. So anyway, that's my plug for Power Perks.
Yeah, no, it's exciting times. And, you know, my encouragement to everybody on the call is, you know, be patient. You know, right now what we have to work with as consultants in Ambit Energy is just a ton of money. You know, how much money do you want to put in your bank account? And if you're looking for, you know, what's the game plan for that, go show the plan, and personally enroll new consultants in your business. You know, certainly you want to correspond with the old consultants. You want to, you know, want to be there for them and answer their questions and everything. But don't sit back and try to resurrect the dead. You know, a lot of times after ambition, people are, I'm going to get in touch with such and such. They're going to get fired up over this. You know, it's a lot easier to give birth than to resurrect the dead. I promise you, it's been proven over the years and the ages that's a true statement. So I encourage everybody that's on the call to get on the call next week with us. We're going to have some field leaders. We're going to drill down on the dollars and cents. We're going to talk about the promotions. But don't wait until next week's call. You know, get up, get after it. If you don't understand something, you know, what we're going to talk about next week, we'll talk about the mechanics of, you know, hey, if you're an SC and you do this, it's worth X number of dollars to you. You can figure that out on your own. What we're going to talk about next week is the dynamics. What are the drivers? And at a high level, more money means more money. You know, I mean, somebody starts making money that you've just started in the business and they get paid quickly, they're gonna get excited, and that excitement's going to bring in more people. It's going to bring in more money. It always brings me back in the real, real early days in Norbert Hennessy, and the first 80 some odd people that he put into the organization all triggered Jumpstart One. And if you talk to Norbert, and he's got a massive residual income and built a massive organization, it was all that foundation. You know, it's kind of like popping popcorn. You know, the heat's not above the pot. You know, if you go back to the way we used to pop popcorn, is you put the oil in the pan, you put the kernels on there, you turn the heat up to you know, pretty high, and you sit there and you just start shaking the pan. You got one hand on the lid, and you got the other hand on the handle, and you go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You hear the sizzle, and you know, and then you lift the lid up and see if anything's popped yet, and then all of a sudden you hear pop, 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 and then it kind of goes crazy. That's the opportunity. You got to put the oil in the pan, you got to put some kernels in there, you got to turn the heat up, and you do this by, look at those kernels as brand new people in your business, okay? Not the existing people. You're not trying to go take people that have already popped. You're trying to get new kernels and pop some new popcorn. And what'll happen by the end of this promotion is your lid will be coming off. You won't be able to contain all the popcorn you have, and you'll be in momentum drive. And it's all because of the incredible amount of money that's on the table for you as a consultant. We'll talk about the dynamics of popping popcorn, but it's real simple. You know, it's not the upline that's supposed to apply the heat. It's you apply heat underneath somebody, okay, that new person, and help them gather their customers. Don't tell them to gather them. Help them to gather them. Get on the phone with them. Help them gather customers, and then do the same. Teach them, do the same thing. And I tell you what, your lid will come off with all that fresh popcorn, and you'll be having a very, very bountiful holiday season this season, because your checkbook will be full with as much money as you want to put the effort in to drive there. Hey Scott, I can't thank you enough for getting on the call, and I do want to end with one last parting thought from you. And I think it's something that all the consultants in Ambit Energy want to hear, is what's the future? You know, what's the vision for Vistra and Ambit as you see it?
Yeah, Brian, I appreciate that question, because it's an important one, and one that we think a lot about at Vistra. And, you know, I say that the future really is rooted in the traditions of the past, and that is to be the finest, most well-respected retail energy company in the business. Never sacrifice integrity for growth. Live up to those common core principles that I talked about earlier. But the vision for Ambit is as a growth brand and as a growth company. We look forward to continuing to learn the business. As Jim and I have both said, listen, we've learned a tremendous amount, you know, over the course of the past 9 months. We still are learning the business. But I would hope what everybody took from, you know, Ambition is just the depth and the breadth of the resources that we have, from Kurt to Jim to myself to Sydney to Steve Moscato to Sano, that a lot of the NCs got to see. That is just a small portion of our team and the resources that we have. And we're committed to Ambit in the long term. So I think the future of the vision is that continued commitment to Ambit in the long term, and to grow this business to the best that it can become, Brian.
Yeah, I, you know, and I can, as a testament to somebody who's kind of been asked to come in the inside, give some insight and everything, you know, for all the people that are on this call that over the years know me for who I am, and I'm a straight shooter, and I don't pull punches, and I don't say something I don't believe in. I believe that the best days of Ambit Energy are ahead of us. It's different. It's going to totally be different than it has been in the past. But for those that stay focused, for those that go out and do the two simple things we get paid to do, which is gather a handful of customers and help other people do the same thing, for those that can clear their mind of whatever negative thoughts and damage they have from the past and focus on the future, i.e. go and start new organizations within your organization, support those that are, that you have. What's going to happen is you're going to see a juggernaut get formed again when Jim showed the customer count and the trailing off of the customer count. That showed me a lot. We're not hiding anything. Our customer count's down from the peak of where it used to be, but that doesn't mean that's where it stands. You know, we talked about doubling the business over the next few years, and I definitely believe that it can not only be doubled, I believe it can be tripled. You know, every day I was in Dallas and I was going by just massive apartment complexes being built, and I was coming in from into Austin and Round Rock, apartments being built everywhere. Tesla's coming in and building apartments, you know, because of the new manufacturing plant here in Austin, and you know, things are just blowing up. I mean, the you know, every one of those apartments is a new electric meter, is my point. And you know, so we're not in a stagnant market. We're in a dynamic market with new electric meters being added every single day as our population base throughout the United States grows. They need an electric meter and a place to stay. So we're in the right place at the right time with the right company with the financial strength behind us to go and build this. And I think at the end of the day, Scott, you know, as a consultant in our business, what a person has to ask themselves, am I going to participate, you know, and benefit from it, or am I going to watch? You know, am I going to watch an evolution, or am I going to be part of a revolution? You need to be a part of a revolution in your business and let everybody else that doesn't choose to be a revolution be an evolution. But the big money earners, the people that are going to go to the top, the people that are going to take the new spots that are going to open up next year are going to be the people that are revolutionary in how they go and build their business. They adapt to change. They embrace change. They learn from change. They grow from change, and they move forward. So that's my challenge to each and every one of you that's on this call. Scott, I can't thank you enough for hopping on the call and know how busy you are. And, you know, it's just Ambit. You know, we're 10 o'clock Central, 11 o'clock on the East Coast, and I guarantee you there aren't too many people that have hopped off of this call. That's who we are. That's who we're proud to be. And we really, really appreciate you taking time to be with us tonight.
My pleasure, Brian. And I tell you, I just can't wait to see folks face to face again. You know, I really, that's one thing that I really like about, you know, Ambit and the network are all the people and, you know, the hard work, and we appreciate it. I can't wait to see everybody face to face. Thanks, Brian.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Jay, if you would open it back up and let everybody thank President of Retail at Vistra, Mr. Scott Hudson, for being on the call tonight.